David Oodle's doodle. David Oodle was apt to doodle while talking on the phone. While half his brain was engrossed in talk, the other would start to roam, drawing wiggles and squiggles, whirls and swirls, most intricate in their design, shaded and cross-hatched with such finesse that Picasso might say, "Is that mine?" On ending the talking, his fingers stopped walking, that is, until one fateful day, the doodling half of David's brain got totally carried away. He'd started a doodle that looked like a noodle, the usual kind of thing. But when trying to finish, the strangest thing is his fingers would just not give in. Now, you'd figure this caper would end when the paper was full and he'd run out of space. But in no time at all, he'd doodled the wall and was drawing all over the place. The ceiling was covered, the floor was smothered with mazes and daisies and squares. He'd doodled the hallway both this way and that way. And then he'd doodled the stairs. Well, some may think you'd run out of ink if you use the same pen all the time, and this tale is a lie, but I'll tell you why David's pen drew an infinite line. You know how a spider has something inside her for spinning an infinite web? Well, David's pen had some kind of zen which drew ink from the thoughts in his head. So with ideas forthcoming, the ink kept running, and all David would do was think of a new kind of curl, a colourful swirl, and there in his pen would be ink. So the sceptics among you who figured the fun you could have with only one pen was restricted by ink and not by think had better be guessing again. Now, where were we? I'm sorry. Oh, yes, back to the story. Well, yes, he'd gone up a flight, and needless to say, he doodled his way through the bedroom, the closets, the night. Without any sleeping or resting or eating, he doodled on all but his mouse. So he made the decision to continue his mission and took his doodling outside the house. Well, it didn't take long for folks coming along to notice what David was doing and say, "Well, what a disgrace to doodle his place. It makes it look like a ruin." But then came a man who the world would scan for interesting art, something new. And when he saw the display, he walked right up to say, "Hi, David, I'm Ted. How do you do?" Well, when Ted expounded how excited he found it, and he thought that doodling was neat, David agreed for art, and no fee, he would doodle the shoes on Ted's feet. Now, how was David to know that where'er Ted would go, people would exclaim all the time, "Whoa, look at those shoes, the reds, greens and blues. Do you think he would do it to mine?" And before very long, David's doodling was on the footwear of all to be seen. Then one day came a letter that said he'd better get ready to doodle for the Queen. Now whoever would credit that David's doodling habit would take him to the palace, but he began to wonder what if he should blunder and doodle on the legs of Queen Alice. Well, soon the day came and David's name was the hottest thing under the sun. Cameras rolled in to see him begin the most delicate doodle he'd done. From Ghana to Greece, Nicaragua to Nice, people tuned in just to see how good was his doodle. And if you'd all seen it, you'd certainly have to agree that Queen Alice was beaming from the floor to the ceiling. Her shoes were resplendent and fine. And there just was no stopping all the dignitaries watching from saying, do mine, and do mine. Well, wiping sweat from his brow, David was now a hero, the king of doodle. He was toast of the land, which was more than he planned, but denying it would have been futile. So moving on from that day, David doodled his way through countries, some big and some small. Then came a request from so far east, it was west, to doodle the Great China Wall. "The Great Wall of China," said David, "I'm kind of honoured to do such a thing, but to doodle it all both sides of the wall? We should check with those folks in Beijing." Though trying to hide it, the Chinese were delighted that David would come to their land. They were excellent hosts and made all kinds of toasts at banquets, most high and most grand. Then soon, one morning, stretching and yawning, he felt it was time he began, so with plenty of zen in his magical pen, he commenced at the end, near Japan. After nearly 3 years and to millions of cheers, he doodled on the last little place. Now, did you know it at all that the Great China Wall can be seen from way up in space? This fact, most important, is something that oughtn't be overlooked, because one day an alien ship on a pleasure trip sailed by from the great Milky Way. Well, they smiled with mirth when looking at Earth, for they saw the colourful line 2,000 miles long with doodles on. They'd never seen something so fine. Now, they caused quite a panic when they flew in and landed, but explained, using pictures and signs, they'd just come to see the she or the he who drew those magnificent lines. When first meeting David, he asked if they did drawings or art of some kind, and he learned that they drew on the plains of Peru, but that was way back in time. So having swapped stories of doodling glories, they made David an unbeatable offer. He would cause a sensation in their constellation if he doodled the great moons of Zophar. Well, how could David refuse? He had nothing to lose, and the ultimate was to doodle the stars. So he left right away, doodling his way past Saturn and Jupiter and Mars. Now, it was quiet there on Earth, David's planet of birth. He was truly the greatest they'd seen. They talked of it all, reminiscing the wall and the day he doodled for the Queen. And though David's gone to the stars and he's on a spaceship somewhere up high, take a telescope one night, pick a star shining bright, focus in, and if you espy all kinds of lines and funny designs, and among them you catch sight of a noodle, I'll bet you my hat that you're looking at the work of the great David Oodle.